Hi, Blue Wire listeners. I'm Greg Olson. I'm excited to partner with Blue Wire to bring you TE1, a podcast where I interview the tight ends who have revolutionized the position. Listen in as I have raw, in-depth conversations with the all-time greats like Shannon Sharp, Tony Gonzalez, Travis Kelce, and George Kittle. We'll explore how the tight end position has changed over the last 60 years and what it takes to be the very best. Subscribe to TE1 from Blue Wire Studios today so you're ready for the August premiere.
How you doing, good sir?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Not bad. Not bad, man. Welcome, everybody. This is the second episode officially of the new Wombo Combo podcast. To start us off today, just to give a general summary, we're going to be... The recent event that is going to influence the episode is the Sumail kick, or, you know, whatever you want to call it, from OG. You know, with our experience playing on teams, I'm sure we both have plenty of stories, and I don't want to say, you know, our own idea of what it means to get kicked, what it's like to get kicked, who does the kicking, how it's decided, all that kind of stuff. So with that in mind, how are your pubs this week, Monkeys?
Oh, my pubs have been wonderful. I'm back to 9K, so, you know.
Very cool.
I'm chilling.
Rubbing it in, I see. Already a good way to start the nice flex, bro. I saw you streaming a little bit. You guys also had, I saw you 2-0'd Business Associates. Did you have any other games?
Business and Quincy Crew.
You 2-0'd
both.
You 2-0'd both of them. Damn. Yeah. What's the secret, man? What's the secret?
You know, we just kind of... Like ever since our first tournament, the beat arena or beat esports or whatever that tournament was, we beat Quincy in a best of three and a best of five, and since then we've like never taken a series off of Quincy, and this is like the first one since then. So we just definitely had to take a step back and like reevaluate how we thought of Quincy, and you know, managed to figure it out again. So it's on them to kind of change things up and
it's crazy how that happens,
again.
Right? Because it's kind of like in the meta where you have to learn new heroes and adjust to that. It's the same thing within like the team meta, right? Like
team
seems to have the other team's number. But yeah, back to the why we're here today. Get a little refreshment from Monkeys. I've just been streaming, you know, playing pubs, losing 70% of them, and that's my that's my experience with Dota in the last week.
Except for that one game you had me, we owned that game.
Dude, honestly, if I have you, Gunner, and like one other guy, like one of like you or Gunner plus one other guy I know, the games have been free, like actually free. I'm just, like somebody I know I can communicate with, and I have a general idea of how they're gonna play, and also they have a general idea of like how I'm gonna play. I'm like, dude, these games are so easy. I'm a shitty pub player, man. I can't play. I'm like
being familiar with your teammates goes such a long way in pubs. It really, really does.
Definitely, surprisingly so. You'd think in pubs it's a lot much less about team coordination, but at the highest level where we have to play against
that's such an awful mentality. All of Dota is a team game, man. Like. Pubs, competitive, everything. Like whether you like it or not, this is a 5v5 game. You have to treat it as such.
Yeah, people even in our bracket don't do a very good job of that.
That's very true.
Speaking of 5v5, so what was your initial reaction when you saw that Sumail departed from OG?
I mean, definitely a bit of surprise, but like I don't know. With everything going on in the world right now and like esports basically getting put on hold, nothing really surprises me too much right now, because I mean, you don't really know, you know, what's really going on with, you know, borders being closed. Like maybe Sumail was like really tired of playing on ping or something like that, and things just weren't working out. Like I don't know, that there's a lot of reasons for stuff like this to be happening right now, so I don't know. I try not to like read too much into it until like I actually like speak to, you know, Sumail or so that like someone actually involved in what happened, because I genuinely don't know why it happened. You know, I honestly thought Sumail was like performing really, really, really well on that team. So
yeah, I
it
feel
was
like
definitely
his
like
playstyle also fit in pretty well. Like I
exactly.
The way like, run and gun, up in your face, continuous aggression, even though he's like moved to carry role. I thought he still did a lot of that in his character.
Absolutely. I mean, like, literally when I first heard that Sumail was going to OG, I was like, yeah, it just makes sense. Like, that's the perfect fit for Sumail. That's the type of team that he needs to, like, you know, for Sumail to just be so ecstatic to play Dota, because OG is like just Sumail. It really is. It's like the embodiment of Sumail. It's just like, play good aggressive Dota and like don't make mistakes. Like,
outskill them.
Yeah.
We talked about briefly last week in our introductory episode about how like teams are kind of a relationship, right? And it kind of feels like sometimes you love the person, you know, you like the teammate, whatever, and there's just a lot of circumstances surrounding any given team, any given scenario that just make it not work out. For me, this kind of gave me that impression. Yeah, I kind of thought, like you said, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world, the ping, the lack of events, like the LAN events, actually. If there was a LAN event, would Sumail, you know, living in America, be even able to go? A lot of countries obviously aren't letting Americans travel there.
Yeah, so exactly.
So for me, that's like my initial impression. I'd like to believe he didn't get kicked because of team issues, like whether it's not his play for sure. I would like to think it's not his attitude. Yeah, I do think Sumail has matured a lot in the last several years.
Yeah, absolutely. Sumail is definitely a lot more humble nowadays, I would say, than he was, you know, when he first got introduced to the competitive
scene. Pretty hard to imagine being humble when you're like 16 years old and you won TI.
I've
been playing Pro Dota for 6 months. I'm 15, 16 years old and I won TI. I'd probably be an egotistical asshole even more so than I already am as well. So, but with the kick, it's just, I am excited to see Seb back. Honestly, can we just get Jarax back in there too? You know, man.
Just Jarax. You know, get Ana like 6 months down the line. You know, why not? Just you know, mix things up a bit. You know.
Yeah, exactly. I always think of like, God, what is the cartoon? Is it Power Rangers where they're like assemble?
You know? Yeah. I think that is.
Power is it like Rangers. Captain America or Power Rangers? I don't remember.
I mean, it's one of those.
Yeah, that's all I think of when I think of OG, because they always like separate, and then you can only hope that they, like, all of us are rooting for, right? Because they're Captain Planet. That's what I meant. Captain Planet. Assemble. Slowly but surely they're coming all back. Obviously, I don't expect Jarax to come back, but either way, we can always keep
I mean, you can always hope to. I mean, watching Jarax, Earth Spirit, and Tiny was just a thing of beauty. You know,
dude, it's crazy to see people play their heroes like when they're the best in the world. It's incomparable, and like, for Sumail moving forward, like, he never really was like a signature carry. Like, I don't think there's any carry hero of Sumail's where I'm like, that's a Sumail hero. Maybe.
You know what's so terrifying about Sumail to me is like when he made the switch from mid to carry, I was just like, I wonder how this is going to change Sumail, right? And the biggest thing for me is, remember when Party Queue initially came out and, you know, everyone was like five stacking or two like duo queuing and or trio queuing or whatever. And like that was just what matchmaking was for like a month or two. My stack played against Sumail stack, you know, 10 times in a row, like in one night. And I remember I was on like an Axe binge. I was playing Axe nonstop. And I could not land a blink Berserker's Call on Sumail if he had a Manta. He would reliably dodge it every single time. And literally, like, that night, I was just like, Sumail's gonna be just the best. Like, what? He plays a role that buys Manta now. What can you do?
Dude, he played with Arteezy for 3 years. You think he's not gonna be able to masterfully Manta dodge everything? Well,
but I mean, like, when he played mid, you wouldn't really see him Manta dodging that much. And then, like, you know, he switches a carry, and after 2 weeks, he literally is, like, frame perfect dodging, like, every single spell that you, like, can possibly imagine. Like, Sumail is just... His mechanical skill is just so incredibly scary. It really, really is.
I want to say this right now, though. So this is a bit off topic, but I assume pretty much every episode we're going to do something like this. I have noticed that when I feel conceptually above what's going on in the game, and what I mean is, like, I just know, I have a good feeling of, like, the state of the game. I'm confident in exactly what I need to do in the game. Exactly, like, my role in the game, the items I need to build, who threatens me, all this kind of, like, everything. Like, I just feel really in tune with the game. mechanical things seem so much easier. Like, you just push the right buttons. You're like, all you're thinking is the minute that axe calls, I'm gonna push this manta. And I feel like Sumail is just one of those players in the world that is not only mechanically gifted, but after watching him play carry, I just get that his overall knowledge of the game is just insane. Because, like, you move from one role to the other, and most players, even players like Rezo, who I think has really come into his own as an offlane player, when they come in, like, when they started that role, they looked bad. Like, they look like they're out of place. And I watched Sumail play carry for, like, the first month that he did, and I was already learning. I was like, holy shit, like, this guy knows more about the carry role than I do, and he's never even played it. So all I'm saying is, like, when I watch players like Sumail, I've really realized for myself that it just feels like they always know exactly what's going to happen next, and all they're doing is just playing off instinct and reacting to, like, what's exactly in front of them in, like, the purest way. And I'm not trying to take away, like, I all I know is that mechanical skill goes way up when you feel like you're in tune with the game. And I, with Sumail,
oh, for sure.
I think that's the key to his success, is that I don't think I've ever watched a Sumail game and been like, yeah, he looks lost. Like, he doesn't know what he's supposed to do in the game.
I saw a couple when he switched to offlane for a little while.
Okay.
When he switched to offlane, I saw a couple times where I was like, what are you doing, Sumail? But other than that, like, little stint, that was like,
nah, we need an example. You can't just call him out and then not say, like, you got to give us an example, man.
An example?
Yeah, you don't remember
I don't remember, like, every game from back then. I think one of the games I'm referring to, he was playing Underlord, and he was like, he died like 5 times in laning stage or something. I don't know. That when he played offlane, there was a couple of times in the laning stage that he just didn't really, like, understand the lane matchups that well.
I mean, you
can't really, like, fault him for that, right? Like, he just randomly made a switch from mid to offlane. It's like, I can do it. It's easy.
I have to know, though. The last question before I bring us back to the main focus here is, do you not, like, associate all players with some random memory of them that just, like, defines your experience with them? Like, have you never done that? Like, whenever I see King Potato, okay, like, I don't know if you know that, he's like ranked 500 or whatever.
Yeah.
The only thing I can think of is when he played against Eternal Envy Spectre offlane Sand King, and he went, that was back when Stout Shield was in the game, he went Stout Shield, Quelling Blade, Blink Dagger. And he had this Blink Dagger. He's level 6. The enemy Spectre's level 9. It's, you know, Eternal Envy. He has, like, Vanguard and a Pipe on Spectre. I'm like, what the fuck? But either way, I look at this game and I'm like, how did he ever think that would be good? Like, so all I'm saying is, like, when I asked you about your specific example, I was, like, whenever I think of players, like, with Arteezy, I'll always remember, like, even a year from now, I'll remember what happened 5 days ago, where I was supporting him in lane and he asked me to give him a salve. So I had a salve ready. He got a kill. I salved him, and then he said, no, I'm suiciding anyway. And he just, like, ran into the tower and killed himself. And I'm like, and then later in the game, something exactly the same happened. And I was like, okay, I'm never giving this guy a salve ever again in the history of pubbing with Arteezy. So
I don't know if I have, like, specific memories like that of people. Or I mean, like, you know, I don't know. Dota is such a wild game. So many random variables happen on such a frequent basis. Like, it's really difficult to, or at least for me, because, like the main thing I'm thinking about when I'm playing Dota is myself and how I can improve and, like, what I should be doing differently, or, like, how I should change my mentality for certain things and stuff like that. I honestly don't really pay attention to, like, you know, who's on my team or who's on the enemy team. I think all of that is just kind of, like, it enables yourself to, like, get nervous and stuff like that, if that makes sense. Because when I was younger, you know, I would always look at who's on both teams and be like, oh, my team's shit, and ah, the other team has, like, Sumail and Arteezy or something like that. And then, like, you know, from the before the game even starts, I'm just like, I feel bad about myself. But, you know, nowadays, like, I don't even try and look at the players on the team, because that has nothing to do with my game. My game is going to be exactly the same, you know. Like, I you gotta I don't know. I feel like I kind of got a little off track
but yeah, I agree with you. Overall, like I will that's something I do want to talk about in future episodes for sure, but I'm always fine if we dabble into that. My overall approach has been if I try to think about anything other than me, Dota becomes so overwhelming that I'll mess up.
Yeah, exactly. Cuz there's so many variables out of your control, right? Like you can't like get you can't really worry about every single thing that's happening in the game, if that makes sense.
Some of
like,
it's just not your job. That's why there's five players.
Exactly. Right? Like you can only control what you're supposed to be doing in the game, and that's what I really try and focus on. Like nowadays, when I play pubs, like
absolutely,
I just go into the pub and I'm like, I'm gonna play Dota properly. Whatever my team does, that's what they do, right? Like
my first instinct when I'm tilting is to start thinking about what all my other teammates should be doing that they're not doing.
That's a dangerous rabbit hole.
If I'm in a good frame of mind, I'm always like purely focused on what I can do next, what my hero's capable of, all that kind of stuff. But into the rabbit hole, I'm officially, you know, shutting it down right there. So I wanted to tie in like the Sumail kick and everything, or whatever you want to call it. This case, we kind of came to the conclusion, it sounds like mutually, that we both thought it was just extenuating circumstances and most likely is just the logistics of the situation. That's kind of what we...
I mean, you know, you never really know what goes on with, like, the inner workings of teams, right? I mean, like, with me and you and VGJ Storm, like, we thought that was going to be a long-term, like, endeavor, right? And then, you know, 2 weeks in, we're without a mid player, no replacement. So, like, sometimes, like, Dota just kicks you while you're down, right? And you just gotta keep on going, figure out what's next.
So I don't think Sumail's made any official announcement of what he would plan to do. From my
perspective, I haven't seen it yet myself.
I feel like our experience is hard to compare to his, right? Because with all due respect to either of us, like Sumail is literally, you know, Sumail. He's probably like the best player, if not top three in the entire NA region. And for me, it's like when you're a player like him, you talked about last week how you really needed some time off from a team, collect yourself, you know, figure out like what's important to you, all that kind of stuff. And now when you're back on a team, it's like for you, you found the right circumstances, you found the people you wanted to play with. When you get kicked, right? Mm-hmm. Or you end a team, what would you say? I don't even want to say like what does it feel like, but like what goes through your head? Like, do you just say like fuck Dota for like the next week, or do you, you know? I'm gonna give my thoughts on this right after, by the way.
But. Yeah. So I've had a lot of different instances about of being on different teams and whatnot. You know, I've been competing since 2012, so like I've been around the block a few times, but like I guess I'll speak about the most recent like kick I experienced, which is like the most fresh in my mind or whatever, and that would be the right after the Paris Major when I was playing with Complexity. We ended up beating Beast Coast, which was the team IX Mike, Eternal Envy, that stack, and we didn't get last place. But then we lost like LGD in the main stage or something. And after that, like basically we continued to scrim after we got eliminated from the tournament, which in hindsight, I think that is such a like a bad idea. Like,
we did that on VGJ.
What?
We did that on VGJ.
Oh yeah, we did. Actually.
I got a story for that after.
That is just so incredibly bad for just like team environment and like personal mentality and everything. And you know, I definitely feel like I learned a lot from those circumstances. But anyways, we played scrims the day after we got eliminated. I was feeling really sick as well. But like, you know, I think I got land flu or whatever when I was there. So like I for like the 2 days after we got eliminated, like I just wanted to be in my hotel bed just like trying to sleep that shit off, because being sick and playing Dota is an awful feeling. I don't know if you've ever done it, but it's not fun. But anyways, we played scrims and I got in a disagreement with how we played the laning stage with them, like pretty heavily. And honestly, that was like one of the only disagreements that happened in my entire like month and a half with Complexity, like that iteration of Complexity. And so we had a disagreement. like scrims didn't go that well. I think we went 1-3 in scrims, but I mean, these are all major teams that were scrimming. So like 1-3, like, I don't know. It's not that bad in my head as long as you learn from it, right? But anyways, I go back to my hotel room right after scrims end, and I just want to like sleep everything off and whatnot. And Gav Miracle, he comes to the hotel room at like midnight or something. I'm like, I ask him, I'm like, do we have scrims tomorrow? And he just says, yep, we're just meeting in the practice room at 11 a.m. And I'm like, okay. So then I go down there and I open the door at 11 a.m. Nobody else is in the room except for me. And I just sit down, and literally at that moment when I saw nobody else, I was like, I'm getting kicked. I knew it like immediately. And then, you know, like a couple of people start coming in, and then 343, Adam, he comes in and he's just like, yeah, we're not going to continue with you. We want to go with someone else for TI qualifiers. And I was just like so taken aback by it, because I was just like, I had one like heavy disagreement with you guys in the laning stage when I feel I was being really, really consistent and like I was playing at a decent level. So it was like really, really out of nowhere. And I was like pretty good friends with everyone on that team, in all honesty. Like I spoke to all of them constantly, like in and out of game, and like we just had a lot of fun together. So when they kicked me after just like a month, and like we honestly didn't do that bad at the major. Like we beat Fnatic in a best of three. We were doing like decent in scrims. Just everything. It seemed like we were a pretty decent team. And then the kick happened, and I was just like, dude, fuck people and fuck competitive Dota. And I literally just became a streamer for a year because I just didn't want to deal with like all of that like uncertainty and drama and shit, because it's just like, I don't know, man. It's so hard to feel secure in like your career when like kicks like that happen like all the time, when people can be so fickle that they're just like on the spot, they're just like, oh yep, this definitely isn't going to work out because we had one disagreement. It was just a very like sudden thing to me that I didn't think like had to happen or whatever. But I mean, I, at the same time, you know, maybe they had their good reasons or whatever. I mean, I still to this day don't think they were in the right, because they ended up replacing me with Tavo and they got like last place at TI qualifiers. So
what I want to say is a couple things, right? I think a lot of people get the impression that there are times where like kicks can be gradual. What I mean by that is like, I remember when we were with Leviathan and we would say like, hey, you know, Sammy boy, we don't feel like you're... like, we need you to improve on this a lot. We feel like you are, like, holding us back or whatever. And we give them time to work on that. And if it doesn't work out, then you kick them, right?
Yeah.
In some cases, though, and majority of them, at least in my experience, has been you just get kicked. Like, you just wake up the next day and
exactly. That is the majority of kicks, really.
Having that happen to you, like, two or three times... is scarring. Like, it is scarring, because like you said, you just don't feel secure. You don't feel like at any point, like, yes, you want to feel motivated to be your best, right? You want to feel like you're always on the chopping block in a sense, such that you can play your best. But if you're constantly concerned that you have like one bad day, one bad week, that you're gone, it makes you play worse. Like, it actually makes
absolutely.
You play way worse.
Because you're playing with that, like, that heavy pressure on your back.
Yeah, it's
and,
a
like,
burden.
You feel like you have to, like, go above and beyond. But, like, Dota isn't always about going above and beyond. Dota is just about, like, you know, understanding what you're supposed to be doing in what situation. You don't have to, like, you don't have to be 100% all the time. You can be at, like, 80%. And it's great.
Yeah.
Like as long as you're, like... consciously aware of exactly what you're supposed to be doing in Dota. I feel like there's a lot of unrealistic pressure that people put on themselves when it comes to competing, because like they watch these TI matches between, or like the grand finals between the best two teams in the world, and they just see these like amazing plays after amazing plays. But you know, in reality, these best two teams in the world, they're just chill. They're sitting there playing their game, talking to their buddies about the game they love, right? Like they're just playing Dota. They're not thinking about like all of this random shit. They're just enjoying the game, right?
Yeah, and I believe that one of the reasons why I at first when I saw you and the four Zoomers playing that I was like unimpressed, but I was like, I think this team can go a long way. Like I'm like, I think this team can become something. And yeah. The reason why was I just knew pretty much all of you guys and was like, at the end of the day, they all care a lot about getting better. They like even though I've had my disputes with Sammy Boy in the past and even recently in pubs, it's just like I know the guy cares a lot about getting better at Dota, and I know like that mutual agreement between all of you on that perspective will lead to an overall positive environment. And I believe a positive environment in the team is one of the most important things, if not the most important thing.
Honestly, having a consistent positive environment in a team is like unheard of to me, man.
This team
is like one of the first ones I've actually had it on, and I'm like, wow. Dota is like so fun when you get to this point.
it's crazy how much better everyone can grow if they just, you know, can bounce ideas off each other. They trust each other.
Yeah, like, if you can critiques. Just talk to each other. Yeah.
Dota's a game where there's a lot of puzzles to solve, you know, and not every player sees everything. And sometimes it can be a pretty drastic shift in a mentality, a drastic improvement for one guy to just be like, hey, and then lay literally one sentence on you. And you're like, hold. Wow, like that to me, like never thought about it that way.
Have you ever heard of DealDash.com? It's the best, most honest bidding site where you can win things you never expect at a price you never believe. They have over 1,000 auctions every day on electronics, appliances, beauty products, home decor, and even cars. Here's how it works. It's like an auction, but every time starts at $0 and only goes up 1 cent every time you bid. The kicker is that the auction clock restarts after just 10 seconds. That means every time you bid, everyone else has 10 seconds to answer or the item is yours. If you go ahead and buy now, DealDash is offering our listeners an extra 100 free bids upon sign up. On top of other discounts, go to DealDash.com and use the offer code prediction or DealDash.fm/prediction. That's DealDash.fm/prediction. And then some good news, sports are coming back, and so are your chances to bet on your favorite teams and events. Major League Baseball is finally kicking off this week, and there's no better place to start wagering than our exclusive partners, BetOnline. Check out all the odds, futures, and props to bet on, all available 24/7. And with the return of sports, BetOnline sat down with former pro players Eddie George, Harold Reynolds, and seven-time NBA champ Robert Horry. See what they had to say and what it'll be like playing without fans in a series they're calling Fandemic. Visit betonline.ag for all your odds, up-to-date sports news, and more. Remember to use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your new welcome bonus. That's promo code BLUEWIRE, BetOnline, your online wagering experts. And now, let's get back to the next topic.
With your experience, like, so, you know, we talked about a bit with your kicking, and you said, like, you know, I just fucked off in the stream for a year. I've been given the question a lot about, you know, BSG, have you given up on competitive? You know, why? What's your plan with that? And, you know, I kind of think this is a great opportunity to talk about that for me because it's similar to your story where we had VGJ. You and I both went through that together. And what happened there, TLDR, is that we all went there for about a month. New York, that is. We lived in that team house. It was not a healthy environment in the team house, meaning like very clumped, very like the quality of life in the house itself was not great. And then what happened was we had like two or three qualifiers. We barely didn't make it. And Ryoya got poached by a different team. And the morale of the team went from 100 to 0 in like 3 days, right?
Yeah. We went from being a game off of qualifying to majors to like literally losing to tier three teams.
Yeah, we were losing every. And the number one thing that we referenced earlier was, I've told this on stream once, I think, was we lost that qualifier and Ryoya was still on our team at the time. And I think it was Jack that organized it, not trying to bash Jack here. But the next morning, we lost the qualifier at like midnight or 11 p.m. or something, right?
Everyone was so tired.
We then scrimmaged, like we had a scrim scheduled against now Team Nygma, previously Team Liquid. And I think at our best, we lose to them like 95% of the time. We'd probably give them a game, though. You know, we'd probably make it so it's like, you know, maybe a 25, 30 minute game, whatever. We got raffle shit stomped in like 12 minutes, both games. And we all knew that, like, they would never play us again. Like, to them, that was a complete fucking joke of a game. And that was just like one of the worst things for the entire team was like scrimming right after losses. And I think a lot of team cohesion healthy environments also go with understanding that Dota is a very mental game. People get very frustrated.
Oh, absolutely.
Emotions are high, tensions are running. And with some of these kicks like yours, you talked about, that can be so sudden, I think it's almost like a short-term loss of that control of the team where sometimes, like, you're on this, like, tightrope where if you fall slightly too far to the right, you're just going to topple over and everything just implodes. And with that team, like we said, I think the team environment overall was pretty damn good for, like, the first 2 weeks we were at that boot camp.
I loved being on that team.
Yeah, I improved so much. Like, I've talked about the lessons I've learned about laning and, like, playing the map from that team in 2 weeks for, like, the last 2.5 years or whatever it's been since then.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still, like, wow, I feel like I'm finally understanding that point, like, to the fullest. To the absolute fullest. But for me personally, you know, we got done with that team. I went emo for like 2 months. Like, I was still streaming. The one credit I'll give myself is that maybe not always for my best interest, but no matter how upset I am, I'm going to do my job. In that case, streaming. Like, I'm going to make sure I do something. And then, like, 3 months later, I finally came out of it and I said, like, I need to actually buckle myself together. And I was streaming like maybe 4 or 5 days a week for like 6 hours or something, you know, like not a full time thing. I was being lazy and I'm like, okay, gotta write this ship, come back online. And what happened was I tried really hard for about 5 months, right?
Yeah.
And then I end up talking with Brax and them. Brax, Ix, Mike.
The team guys?
Yeah, it was Newsham, I think. Newsham, Ix, Mike, Brax. It was mainly Newsham and Brax that I had talked to in, like, July that I wanted to play with. Mm-hmm. And they were both, like, very clear that they wanted to play as well. And so we ended up getting Mike at the five, and we had to make a final decision for the mid. And to be honest, like, even though I'm not, I don't want to be possessive or anything, I, for the most part, was the head of, like, making sure this team happened. Like, I felt like I was the one organizing this team.
Yeah.
And, being the primary assembler, like, even I remember, like, Brax and Newsham would say, like, hey, we want to play with these guys, but, like, you have the final say. It's kind of like that. So we ended up having to decide between Gunner and Ryoya. And because of the nature of Ryoya leaving VGJ, him and I, we've just never really seen eye to eye. And that situation was also kind of toxic.
I remember seeing some pub interactions with you guys.
There's some stuff there. At the end of the day, I don't, like, hate him or anything. It's just don't see eye to eye with
anything. It's just
anything.
Dota things.
We're
honestly
just different, like, human beings at the end of the day. And we ended up going with Ryoya because Brax and Mike really wanted to play with him. And they kind of argue, like, he's got a lot more experience than Gunner. And so we went with that. And I remember with my experience, what happened was you talked about how you were playing sick. And I hadn't played. So I had been playing a lot of carry, but back then I felt like my mentality towards improvement, like, when I look back on myself, I'm like, God, I was stupid. At that TI, the meta for carry was Klynx Weaver, like Klynx Weaver, Wraith King. Like, those were like the three.
I remember. Yeah.
And I had never really played Klynx or Weaver. Like, I had played them, like, I had like 80 games on them or whatever, but I had never taken the time to, like, really understand those two heroes. So the first, like, week that we were playing scrims as a team starting the new season, I basically prioritized picking myself Weaver and Klynx as often as humanly possible with the attempt, because we had like a week of scrims and then qualifiers, you know? So it's not like I have
really it's not
it's
that
not like
time,
I have like
actually.
2 months to slowly but surely get back with the meta. So I decided, I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna play these two heroes. And needless to say, I wasn't very good at these heroes, right? And I needed to learn them in a competitive environment. And this is my perspective on the situation. And you'll probably hear different perspectives from everybody on the team. That's like the irony and funniness of somebody getting kicked or whatever. Is I just played like dog shit on those on those two heroes. And I was completely lost. I probably sounded like panicky to the team. And this team that I had spent like 2 or 3 months planning for, I was on it for 4 days. And they kicked me. And I was like... what? Like, like, really? And to me, that was just like your entire, like, my response internally was the exact same thing that you said. It's like, just fuck people, fuck this, you know, screw Dota. Like, what am I even doing here? Like, I actually have been streaming, pubbing, working really hard for the last like 6 months in preparation for this. Like, are you serious?
I ended up giving it one more shot when you and I were on Team Runes. We ended up actually beating Team Team in the finals. I'd like to give a shout out to Ryoya for trying to solo kill me twice on the opposite side of the map from his team.
I remember and you feeding just going those games on and away. On about
that. Dude, Ryoya's hate for me was what got us into that land. I will 100% say that we should not have won those games that he completely threw. But moving on. We played on that team and obviously did not have very good success. You know, last place at the minor. And for me, from then on, it was just like a series of like feeling like I came up short, and a lot of those minor moments of, like you said, fuck this, you know, like, and for me, like, I'm not in the same situation as someone like Sumail, but I know last year Sumail, he basically said like, I'm gonna wait for the perfect opportunity for a team. And in his case, it's like, I gotta find players that are good enough to play with me. In my case, in similar years, it's just like, I want to find players that I truly believe in and would enjoy playing with. Otherwise, it's just not fucking worth it. Like, screw that.
I had a very similar mentality to that. I for the entire year I was streaming, people would keep going. Like I think I hit 9K at like the beginning of this year or something like that, and people were just like, wow, Monkeys, like, when are you going to be on a team? Like, we always see you like doing great in pubs and stuff. And I'm just like, a team is not something you force, right? Like, it is something that you like, you have to wait for the right opportunity to present itself. Like, you have to want to play with the players for it to actually be a team and not a stack, right? Like, you have to find four other people that, you know, have a similar thought process as you, have a similar attitude, like have a similar mentality. Like, they want it. They're so hungry to win that they're not so egotistical that they're just like, oh, I'm already the best. I put in 20,000 hours in Dota. I don't have to try that hard.
You anymore. And everyone like, else on the team.
Like, I feel like, there's so many maybe not so many people nowadays, but like in the history of NA Dota, like the player pool you had to choose from was always just so egotistical. Like, people already thought that they were the best of the best or whatever, because, you know, they did well in TI1 or TI2 or something like that. When, I mean, you know, if you look at those CIs nowadays, you're just like, wow, those CIs were jokes. Like, your average pub player is as good as those players during those CIs. Like, I think that's a huge issue with North American Dota, like, in itself, because, you know, there's even people who have, like, never even competed before, and they have egos, like, the size of fucking whatever. they genuinely think they're that good at Dota and they deserve every possible opportunity, right? And they don't actually want to put in the time or listen to people giving them advice, or they don't want to look at themselves. They only want to look at their team and be like, oh, I'm not the problem, it's them that's the problem, like, I'm perfect, right? And I feel like that attitude has really slowed progression in this region, because I genuinely think that's an attitude that was fostered in pubs for like such a long time. And maybe it's not exclusive to any region. Like, you know, I'm sure every region has this a little bit, because, I mean, you know, you can see people like Lil from Europe. Like, I mean, sure, the guy was really good at one point, but I mean, He certainly has quite the ego.
The thing about this is that I personally always appreciated you were one of the first, if not one of the few only one players that I ever played with that I didn't get that impression from in North America. And I know for me, it's like sad to look back on that I, in pubs, especially while streaming, especially on the stream when you're like the focus of the channel, you know, everyone's like supporting you, trusting your opinion or whatever. It becomes very easy when you have people around you doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Fall into it yourself. I 100% know my worst habit right now is to start blaming other people, or not even blaming. Like, a lot of it now for me is not blaming. It's literally just focusing on what they're doing wrong. Like, I know what I did wrong and I know what I could fix, but I'm so distracted by talking about everything they're doing wrong that the message of what I'm learning is clouded by that. And I also know that my learning is not pure, because I'm so like, even though I do recognize myself, I could have done that better, it's not my main focus, and it makes me play worse, it makes me improve slower. And that mentality 100% exists in the team
atmosphere that carries over, and it's why cliques are formed in the team atmosphere. It's why scapegoats are often formed. We talk about in pubs, you know, streamers or anybody will scapegoat a player. Imagine in a team comp if that happens, right? Like, that, it's game over.
I remember with Summer, what was it, Summer's Rift?
Yeah, Summer's Rift.
You were thrown on the chopping block for that team, like completely. And, you know, like, sure, you were like the most inexperienced on the team or whatever, but like, I mean, I remember playing against you guys and being like, wow, these guys are pretty good. And then you guys like went to a Red Bull LAN or something and like you got kicked right afterwards. And I was just like, this right here is what's wrong with our region. You know, you go to one LAN event and you don't immediately win it. And then you go up. Oh, well, someone on the team is the problem. And it's not just like, wow, we as a collective unit, we fell short here. How do we as a collective unit improve? We go up. Fuck BSJ, get out of here.
There's obviously a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes when it comes to kicks. I know you're not saying that's not the case. I just want to be clear to everyone at home that's the crazy thing about kicks is like, you know, with that being the main premise of this whole conversation is just like, in that case, I was naive back then. I had no idea how teams worked. That was my first experience. I'd never even... I'd been playing no LAN. Like, I'd never played a tournament prior to that, really. And suddenly I was at a LAN with like a team of players that I had been watching streams of, that I had heard of. You know, I was like, holy shit. And suddenly you're just kicked and you're like, what? People do that?
And then your entire experience is just over. Like, you get a taste of going to a LAN event and now you're just teamless and it's just like, good luck. And you're just sitting there like, oh. Okay, sorry.
The funny thing about all these things is, like, with the premise of getting kicked and finding a new team, I'm happy for you, honestly. I feel like sometimes the stars just have to align, the right group of people has to form, and it almost seems like at a much greater stage, you see a team like OG. It doesn't seem like that team was planned, right? It wasn't. It doesn't seem like it wasn't just. It was literally a spur of we got kicked. Throw together some, you know, good old lads.
They got
kicked. Right?
They got ditched.
Oh, yeah, yeah, whatever.
Two of
you
the
know,
best players in the world
ditched,
just like
right?
up and left them.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, they got. And it's like, let's just throw together a good team of some good old lads and see what happens, right? And that's what Dota to me at the highest level. Didn't understand prior to OG as a team is that if you have the right people, it matters more than anything. Obviously you need to have the skill, you need to have the experience, all that kind of stuff. Like, but at some point all the teams have that, right?
Yeah.
Especially now with more and more good players, Dota's come a long way. And when it comes to being on a team, if you just don't believe it has anything potential to it, you and me are both at that spot, especially like as we move forward, is like less and less. Like, there's being on a team is like worse than not being, like, being on a bad team or like a team that you don't believe in is far worse than just not being on a team at all. And for some, I mean, you can ask Seb, right? Like, he's even talked about it in some interviews and stuff. He thought his career was over. Like, he never thought he would play on a competitive team ever again prior to TI8. And for me, it's such a funny thing where it's like, I jokingly could say I could be the next Seb, where I'm not saying I'm winning TI, but like, maybe I'm just on a team at some point. Maybe it works out. But like, for me, as of now, I've kind of written it off, not in a way of that I think it'll never happen, but I'm not planning for it. Like, if it does happen, it's because I feel like I've worked on my game a lot. I feel like my mentality's grown, whatever. And at some point, that kind of just feels like what you need to do, because forcing it doesn't work. Playing with people that aren't a good fit for you, even if you think you can make it work, it doesn't work. It doesn't work, okay? people you've played with before that you're like, maybe it'll work this time. If it didn't work the first time, it doesn't work the second time. Unless one of you has, like, in your case, like, I talk about Sammy Boy, because I know you did not see eye to eye with him 2 or 3 years ago. And unless somebody's drastically matured or changed... going to be the case, right?
Yeah, that's a huge thing. Again, so during my year of like exclusively streaming, I I was always open to the idea of competing at any point in time, but I basically, like, I wasn't going to go out of my way to, like, actively try and teach people how competitive Dota works and, like, how a team works and stuff, right? Right? Because, I mean, that is just such a long and tedious process, and, like, you have to be able to find the right people who, like, are in the mental state to, like, actually, you know, be able to appreciate, like, what they're, like, learning and whatnot, and, like, actually be eager to learn. And with this team for Zoomers, Gunner, just out of the blue, I remember mentioning this to you last week, you know, how I would see them scrimming or, like, in private lobbies, like, every day, and I would just be envious because I was like, man, this just looks like it would be fun, because it just looked like they were committed to learning and improving, right? And then, you know, one day Gunner just suddenly out of the blue messages me like, hey, you want to try some games with my team and like, you know, just play. And I'm just like, oh, yeah, let's see what happens. And within 2 weeks, every single player on this team has proven that, like, you know, they're hungry. They're here to, like, win and improve. Like, feelings aside and everything, it's just they want to understand Dota at the highest level. And that is what you need. Like you need an entire squad that just, they want to be the best. They want to watch better teams than them and be like, oh, wow, I didn't think of that. And like, be able to, like, accept that they didn't know everything about the game, right? Like, they're still learning. They see something and they're like, wow, that's so cool. We should try that. How can we make this work, right? And I really, like, I as you said, the stars aligned with this team. Like, I literally went from just being a streamer for like 2,000 people to being on a team that I genuinely think has a shot at, like, you know, going really, really far at LAN events and stuff. So I don't know. Dota, when it comes to team games like this, it's just people don't understand just how fragile, like, everything really is. Just how uncertain everything is in Dota, really.
I will say that I'm a firm believer. There's obviously, I'm an idealist in a lot of ways. I'm a firm believer. I know it doesn't always work this way, but I'm a firm believer that if you put in the hard effort and work and you have the right mentality, naturally things are going to come, like, good things are going to happen to you. Like, an example would be like Thompson, right? Like, obviously extreme, but he's just putting in a ton of work all the time, streaming every day, like becoming one of the craziest pub players in the world, and suddenly he gets on a team and it's his time to shine, right? Just the stars align perfectly for him. It doesn't always work like that. And even in your case, I was always surprised. You streamed for how long before you were getting 2,000 viewers? Like, you were consistently getting like 200-300 for years.
I was probably only getting a few hundred viewers for the first like 5-6 years I streamed or so.
And you were still a very consistent streamer. And then suddenly what happened was that one TI, maybe two TIs, TI-8, right?
No, I went to TI-8. It was TI-9, actually. When I first hit like 5,000 viewers in like, my entire streaming career.
I didn't realize it was last year. I thought it was 2 years. You just had one month where nobody else was streaming. So people, with all due respect, were basically forced to watch you and they're like, wait a minute. This guy is a good streamer. A lot of times you just don't get the attention, you know, you deserve for the work you're putting in, the quality content you put out there. And, you know, someone like Thompson, same thing. He was a streamer for what, like 100, 200 people, you know, for his entire career. And I will say that every player I've seen in Tier 1 Dota, when I've talked to them, all the players that are successful, none of this shit's a fluke. Like, none of them are egotistical assholes that are completely delusional. The ones that are, do you think they're in Tier 1 Dota anymore? Like, I don't want to name names, right?
Yeah.
But they're not there anymore. It just doesn't work that way. That's one thing I love about Dota is, and I've really learned about, like, being a human being in general, is all the players I have met that are successful, you talk to them, you hang out with them for like 5 hours minimum, like maximum, even like you can probably establish it quicker than that.
Yeah,
you're like, wow, I see why this guy is a world-class player. Like, I get it. Like, I get his mindset, I get his mentality, I get his work ethic. And there's just no flukes. I don't believe in flukes after experiencing and firsthand just talking to these players, even the coaches, the people in general, the successful people. And
I
want to give a shout out to, like, the people who've taught me a lot about the mindset that it takes. I think this is a constant work in progress.
like for everyone, right? For me, I have relapses on stream where I go back to my old habits. I'm sure everyone to some extent does.
Oh, I mean, dude, even me, I tilt sometimes.
Yeah, I've heard of your tilting. Like, I'm like, shitter, I ask people for clips, but it's hard to find. everyone does it. And I think for people watching, you know, it's not meant to be some inspirational speech, but it's meant to be, you know, people want to work with you if you, like, if you show the desire to be better. Like, whenever I'm coaching people, whenever I'm, like, even just talking to my viewers, you can tell in the questions they ask whether or not they really care about getting better. Like, the way they ask it, like, have they done their homework? Have, you know, all that kind of stuff. Nobody, like, you know, as a streamer, I've streamed for 6 years or whatever for, like, 50 hours on average a week, you know? It's not something that just falls on your lap.
And people always say streaming is such an easy job and stuff like that. And, I mean, dude, it is rough, especially when you're starting out and, like, you're constantly having all these people judge you and, you know, just freely state their opinion with no consequences in the chat, like, constantly. Like, even if it's something that, like, so insignificantly negative as, like, oh, you're ugly, lol. Like, stuff like that will just, like, ruin your mentality as the day goes on, you know? Like, it's just, like, you know, whether it's negativity or positivity or just, you know, just so many conversations going on. Streaming really is, it takes a lot of mental fortitude,
yeah, it's
in
not
my
just,
opinion.
It's not, like, just streaming. If you're in the public eye at all, right, you're one of these players on a team, like, this is anyone who's subject to ridicule at any cost, like the casters, the players, the coaches, the managers, whatever. It's tough. It's not tough necessarily in terms of work. I'm not saying it's easy work. It's the tough to, like, remain centered, right? Like you said, like, it's mentally draining. It really gets to you after a while. And I think that's the main thing that I think about, like, tying this all together as we're about to wrap it up here, is when I get kicked or when I hear about somebody getting kicked, you know, you talk about all the things that happened in the team. You got to think about now what's next for them. Moving forward with Sumail, I wouldn't be surprised if he's not on a team for a while again. I also wouldn't be surprised if he tries to give it a go. But, like, right now, is there really much motivation to force it? Like, based on the, you know, the world situation? I don't think so.
I mean, right now is really not even a great time to be competing, really. Like, there's not as much, like, there's not as much reward for, you know, being at the top of your, well, maybe in Europe it's worth it because, you know, they have, like, what, a $600,000 prize pool online tournament coming up, you know, in a couple weeks or whatever. But, you know, in North America, even if you win this tournament, then you have to split those winnings five ways or six ways if you have a manager or, you know, whatever percentage you're giving your manager. Because, I mean, we're not even sponsored. So, like, you know, there really isn't that much money in competing. We're honestly treating all this internet practice as just, like, just that
preparation
for practice. Like, we're just, you know, preparing for LANs as best we can, in all honesty. Like, we don't really care if we win or lose that much, like, that, because again, there's not that much on the line, really, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. I think that's also a relatively healthy environment to start a team in, you know.
I think
if there's too much pressure, it almost what happened with VGJ, where, like, if there's so much pressure and you come up a bit short, like, suddenly that pressure just all falls down on you, and then wham bam, nobody's there anymore, teams are done. But with that being said, you know, I really like the conversation we had today. I feel like every week for people watching, you know, you're probably going to get a little bit of rambling or a lot. but we want to stay on some central topic about what it's like to be a Dota player, caster, streamer, personality, the dynamics of what's going on in the scene. And if there's nothing that ever happens in the scene that week, we'll kind of just choose a topic. But this week we chose to talk about team dynamics and getting kicked because of the Sumail news. So moving forward, do you have any last comments before we wrap it up for this week?
You know, just try to be kind to each other in the Dota community. I feel like everyone could use some kindness nowadays.
Yeah, maybe commend that support after he didn't feed in your lane. You know, maybe just do that one little nudge towards good spirits in the Dota community. So with that being said, thanks for watching, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back next week, and look forward to talking to you again, monkeys.
Yep, you as well. Have a good one, everyone.